What if everything you believe about gender is a carefully maintained cultural fiction? Judith Butler's groundbreaking Gender Trouble challenges our most fundamental assumptions about identity. This revolutionary text asks us to consider a startling possibility that gender isn't something we inherently are, but something we continuously do. The binary categories of man and woman aren't natural facts, but elaborate social performances that create the very identities they claim to express. When a doctor announces, "It's a girl," at birth, they aren't simply describing reality. They're initiating a lifelong process of gender creation through repeated acts, gestures, and symbols that will eventually feel like nature itself. Butler's work isn't just academic theory. It's a profound reconsideration of how power shapes our most intimate sense of self. By exposing gender as performative, Butler doesn't diminish its importance, but invites us to imagine more liberating possibilities beyond rigid binaries. Who exactly is the woman that feminism claims to represent? Butler begins by troubling feminism's foundational assumption that women exist as a coherent group with shared interests. This isn't merely theoretical nitpicking, it addresses a practical problem. When feminists speak of women's experiences, whose experiences count? The category women doesn't exist prior to politics, but is created through political systems that feminism itself seeks to challenge. Consider how early Western feminism focused on workplace equality while ignoring how women of color had always labored outside the home, or how debates about beauty standards often centered white women's experiences while overlooking different beauty norms across cultures. These blind spots reveal how claiming to represent women often privileges certain women's experiences while marginalizing others. Rather than trying to make the category women more inclusive, Butler suggests questioning the very process that produces gender categories. This doesn't mean abandoning identity politics, but transforming it, recognizing identity not as something to discover, but as something continually constructed through political practice. What if feminism's goal isn't to better represent women, but to challenge the systems that divide us into rigid gender categories in the first place? We typically separate biological sex, anatomy, chromosomes, hormones, from cultural gender, roles, expressions, identities. While this distinction helped challenge gender roles, Butler goes further by questioning whether biological sex itself is truly natural. This isn't denying bodies exist. Butler questions whether strict male-female categorization is inevitable. Intersex individuals demonstrate how bodies don't always fit binary categories, yet medical institutions often surgically correct these bodies, showing how biological facts are culturally enforced. Scientific descriptions reflect cultural assumptions. Consider how reproduction was described using gendered language about aggressive sperm and passive eggs until research revealed the egg's active role. Similarly, sex hormones were misclassified despite existing in all bodies. Butler's key insight is that we can't understand sex outside cultural frameworks. We don't have gender because of sexed bodies. Rather, binary biological sex exists because our society is organized around gender. There is no gender identity behind the expressions of gender. This provocative statement challenges the belief that gender expresses some inner essence. We typically assume there's a pre-existing I that possesses gender as an attribute, but what if this gets things backward? We recognize someone as a man or woman through appearance, mannerisms, speech patterns, and behaviors. These expressions don't reveal an internal gender, they constitute gender itself. Yet our cultural narrative treats these expressions as reflections of an inner truth. This insight transforms our view of authenticity. While many assume living authentically means expressing one's true gender, authenticity becomes more complex if there's no pre-existing gender identity. Perhaps it lies in critically engaging with the norms that shape us. This critique extends beyond gender to identity broadly. our sense of self may emerge through social categories rather than preceding them. This doesn't negate agency or make identity meaningless. Rather, it suggests we work with available cultural materials, even as we reshape them. If gender isn't natural, why does it feel so fundamental to our identities? Butler explores how regulatory practices create the illusion of natural gender through the heterosexual matrix, a framework that aligns sex, gender, and sexuality into a seemingly coherent package. Within this matrix, intelligible genders maintain coherence among sex, gender, and desire. A proper woman has a female body, feminine traits, and desires men. Those who don't align these elements become culturally unintelligible and subject to correction. Gender nonconforming children face pressure to align their expression with their assigned sex. A boy who enjoys dresses may be told boys don't do that or face conversion therapy. These practices don't merely restrict gender identities, they actively produce the binary categories they claim to enforce. The heterosexual matrix produces sexuality by positioning heterosexuality as natural and homosexuality as deviant. For Butler, all sexuality is constructed within cultural frameworks, though this doesn't make it any less real or meaningful. Butler's concept of gender performativity proposes that gender is not innate, but enacted through repeated actions. Gender is the repeated stylization of the body, a set of repeated acts within a highly rigid regulatory frame that congeal over time to produce the appearance of substance. Unlike performance, which implies a pre-existing subject choosing to act, performativity describes how the subject itself is formed through repetition. Gender materializes through daily actions, our ways of dressing, speaking, moving, and interacting. This doesn't mean gender is freely chosen. We're born into existing systems that shape us from birth, with gender norms enforced through social rewards and punishments that become internalized. Yet gender's dependence on repetition reveals its inherent instability. Each repetition risks failure and opens possibilities for variation. Drag performances demonstrate this by exaggerating gender norms, exposing how all gender expression involves imitating not natural gender, but the idea of it. Butler's theory acknowledges gender's lived reality while showing how it becomes real through repetition. This reveals opportunities for subversion, not by escaping norms entirely, but by repeating them differently, creating variations that expose their constructed nature. Butler rejects the idea that we can step outside power structures to challenge gender norms. Instead, subversion must work within existing systems by exploiting their contradictions. She finds subversive potential in practices that reveal gender's constructed nature. Drag performances and gender parody expose gender as a kind of persistent impersonation that passes as the real, by exaggerating and denaturalizing accepted norms. This differs from both conservative defenses of traditional gender and attempts to recover authentic gender. Both wrongly assume some true gender exists. Butler argues that all gender is imitation without original. The goal is to proliferate possibilities that challenge the binary system. While not abandoning identity categories, Butler insists they remain open to contestation. The aim isn't gender abolition, but gender proliferation, creating more livable possibilities beyond rigid binaries. Gender trouble remains revolutionary because it teaches us to question what we take for granted, recognize how power shapes our self-identity, and imagine possibilities beyond current constraints. Butler invites us to trouble all identity categories, not to abandon them, but to create more inclusive possibilities for everyone.